promise, but we did. Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to September 17th meeting of the Portland City Council. We'll begin our agenda in a moment, but first we have some procedural announcements. Commissioner Novick is away and Commissioner Saltzman is ill, so we will not be able to take action on items that have the emergency clause today, which means virtually all of our consent calendar is going to get set over to next week. Then there are a couple of items on the regular agenda that are also being requested to be rescheduled, namely items 972 and 973 are going to be rescheduled for next week as well. Then this afternoon's calendar consisted, I'm using the past tense, of two items, both of which are being canceled or rescheduled. So that we will not be meeting at 2 p.m. today if anyone is watching or here with an eye on those items. So we'll be addressing the morning agenda this morning on anything that we legally can act on with three of us, and those items will be heard in order. But there are a number of items that are emergency clauses or are otherwise being rescheduled, as I've mentioned. So hope that makes sense. This is a little unusual for us to only have three of us, so we're adapting. So again, welcome. We'll begin with communications items. We'll have people called up in order on that. After that, we'll take up the regular agenda. The tradition in this chamber is that we give everyone a chance to speak, and so everyone who would like to sign up to speak on a regular calendar item can. We typically give people 3 minutes. You need to only give us your name. You don't need to give us your address. If you represent an organization as a lobbyist, please let us know that, because that's required under city code. And then in terms of public demonstrations, we would like to ask people to observe decorum here, and if you agree with somebody and want to demonstrate that, wave your hand or something. But since people have a right to say something that you may not agree with, we ask that people not vocally support or oppose their fellow citizens when they're up here talking to us and to the community. So those are the ground rules. Again, welcome, and we'll begin with calling the roll. Thank you. And then we'll go to communications items. Thank you, Amanda.
Saltzman, Novick, Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Thank you. So now we'll turn to item 953.
Request of Dan Handelman to address council regarding meeting with the mayor and police accountability concerns.
Good morning, Dan. Come on up. You certainly can come as a group because I noticed you've got others on the same subject. Sure.
Thank you. Mayor Hales and members of council, my name is Dan Handelman. I'm a member of Portland Cop Watch. Five of us are here today to conduct a meeting with the mayor after we spent over 4 months trying to obtain a sit-down meeting. We were alarmed by a number of city policies that were being formulated behind closed doors with no public discussion in these chambers. We wrote a lengthy analysis outlining our concerns. Despite being clear about these concerns, we were blocked by the mayor's current policy aide, former officer Deanna Wesson-Mitchell, who insisted we meet with her first to clarify these issues. Since our concerns include discussions being held in private, we decided holding this meeting publicly would be most productive, albeit limited to 15 minutes and possibly a one-way conversation. You'll be hearing about issues related to targeting homeless people, our oversight system, and video recording by the police. But I want to address a few issues, including one that the mayor and I first encountered in the year 2000, the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Earlier this year, when the chief brought forward his less than satisfactory annual report on the Bureau's participation with this FBI project, the mayor said he would ask the new special agent in charge for security clearance to properly oversee the Portland officers involved in the JTTF. He also said he would bring the issue back to council this summer if that did not happen. This is the last council meeting before fall. One bit of information we did get from Ms. Wesson-Mitchell in response to our concerns was, quote, the mayor will not apply for or receive a security clearance as actually a standard throughout the nation. This shows a lack of insight into the history of the controversial issue, as the mayor in Portland is the police commissioner. So while the other mayors may not have such clearance, it's our understanding that some police commissioners do. We also raised concerns about the Stop and Talk program that was outlined in a December issue of the Portland Tribune, which featured two officers stopping a car full of young African Americans and one officer saying, "You don't mind if we pat you down so we can speak like gentlemen?" I don't know about you, but when I'm just chit-chatting with friends or fellow Portlanders, I don't start the conversation by searching them for weapons. It's still not clear to us if this program, which reportedly had to do with officers getting out of their cars for 15 minutes at a time, is the same as the neighborhood involvement location assist program or the quality of life patrols in the Hawthorne and Lloyd districts. We heard one story of a business person in a North Portland NILOC who was concerned that the foot patrols made it seem as if it was a high crime area, and anecdotal evidence that the people being approached on foot seemed to be primarily African American. Lack of written documentation on these programs make it very difficult to accurately assess the potential rights violations inherent in them. And of course, the lack of discussion of these issues at council means that broader community, including those who will most likely be recipients of the policy's provisions, people of color, homeless people, and others vulnerable to police contact, have no input into them. We'd like to get copies of written policies for stop and talk, NILOC, quality of life, and clarity on JTTF. And I seem to have 20 seconds left. I should say we also have concerns about the police review board still being closed to the public and many other concerns that we will outline to you in a follow-up written paperwork.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Hales.
Bring the mic down just a little bit.
There you go. Thank you.
My name is Regina Hannon, and I have been a member of Portland Cop-Watch for 10 years. In April, we asked for a meeting with the mayor, but were told that June would be better due to the budget process. We agreed and made several other attempts to get a meeting scheduled. It is now September. However, this has resulted in our being able to discuss our concerns in a very public forum, and this is a good thing. My major concern is how the city and the Portland Police Bureau treat people who are homeless, and I find this to be inhumane and shameful. The Portland Police Bureau is constantly coming up with programs to make the lives of the homeless even more difficult than they already are. First, there was Prosper Portland. Chief Reese stated this would ensure prosperity for everyone, including the homeless. That didn't happen, and the program presumably died. Then came the Chronic Offender Pilot Project, CAP. If people indulged in certain behaviors, they were placed on a list, and if the behavior reoccurred, the person was charged with interfering with a police officer, IPO. When it was first instituted, 17 of 19 arrestees were alleged to be in violation of the sidewalk ordinance. This was completely wrong, miscommunication, according to the DA's office. However, they couldn't undo the convictions already in place. Our articles in our recent People's Police reports provide more information regarding the steps occurring after the arrests, including appearances in community court. I've spoken with a number of homeless people who are repeatedly stopped by the police and asked for their ID. In one instance, a man was told if he didn't produce his name and ID, he would be arrested. This doesn't happen to me, so why are my fellow human beings being treated differently? This seems too much like those times in recent history when certain people were stopped and asked to produce their papers. Frightening. The mayor signed a contract in April with Pacific Patrol Services, a private security firm that can go to various campsites, dismantle them, and confiscate people's property. To me, this smacks of theft and results in the taking of the most basic belongings, such as sleeping bags, blankets, and medication. Retrieving these belongings can be arduous and complicated. Fear of those who might be perceived as different is still being used, and most always about people who are homeless. There was a recent article about community policing in the Hawthorne area, but there seemed to be some distinctions made between the homeless, people selling crafts, and travelers. We have some concern regarding the treatment of the travelers, and we ask, what is the distinction? How is it made, and who makes it? All people must be treated humanely and respectfully, or we are not the society we need to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hi, Mayor Hales and members of the council. First, I want to thank you for your thoughtful and patient service to our community. You spend many long hours in meetings, and I know that this is difficult and challenging for you. I am here on behalf of Cop Watch, an organization that has been monitoring the Portland Police Bureau for 20 years. And I want to applaud the current steps you're making to implement the DOJ agreement and improve training, performance, and accountability. However, there remain some serious barriers to successful implementation of the agreement. One of the most troublesome dictates that the CRC, the Citizen Review Committee, must complete their appeals in 21 days. This is simply not possible given the requirements that are in other parts of the DOJ agreement and that are in the City of Portland ordinances. The CRC, a dedicated group of volunteers, has to go through several steps. They have to review the files. They have to study the evidence. They have to determine if they need to ask for more investigation. The DOJ agreement requires that the Bureau do investigation if the CRC requests it. They hold a hearing, and then if they disagree with the Bureau's findings, they send that back to the chief. If he disagrees, then they set up a conference hearing where they can discuss their differences. If ultimately the differences are not resolved, this thing goes on to the City Council for an ultimate decision. At a recent hearing of the CRC, one of the DOJ representatives indicated that there might be some flexibility in this area and that the 21-day timeline might extend to 41 days. That would be helpful, but it still would require changes to the city ordinances, and also any new procedure needs to be really respectful of the time of our CRC members, many of whom are professionals who work full-time. So it is important that everybody work together to resolve this issue. And while the framing of the recommendations will depend on hard work from staff, we need strong leadership from you, Mr. Mayor, from the Chief of Police, and from the Auditor's Office to figure out a way to meet these dual goals of fairness and timeliness. Many people have said we need to shorten the time that officers are held in limbo here. So it's important that we address this issue, and I thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And you have
I have 20 seconds. Well, just one more thing. Officer Wes Mitchell holds an important position as your policy aide. However, since she was plucked out of the Bureau, we have questions about her capacity to be impartial. And since she may want to go back to the Bureau at some time in the future, we are concerned that she may be hesitant to make waves or to burn bridges. So thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Let me start with, because you requested a meeting with me, and in every case, on every issue, I ask that people start with my staff. And I have full confidence in Ms. Wes Mitchell. Just as I plucked Gail Shibley out of state service and Jackie Dingfelder out of the state legislature and Jillian Detweiler out of TriMet, I have staff who have worked elsewhere in public service, and that's the case with Deanna as well. But in every case, I have full confidence in them, and their job is to be transparent and to bring me community concerns without coloring them with their own point of view, and to take my instructions to the bureaus or elsewhere with a similar transparency. So I do ask that you meet with her first. You may not agree with her analysis of your points, but they'll get to me, again, unfiltered. But that's how every discussion in my office starts, whether it's about land use or transportation or police or anything else. So I'd like to end this impasse and ask you to go have a meeting with her, and then we'll follow up after that. There are a number of these issues that you've raised that I definitely want to spend some time talking with you about, and that you're going to hear things from our office on, obviously the DOJ settlement first and foremost. But there's a lot underway on these issues at the moment. So I think it's good that we have a conversation here in my office and elsewhere. But do start with Deanna Wesson Mitchell. She's my designated liaison to the police bureau. And I think you'll find that maybe she's more independent-minded than you might have presumed.
We would hope so. Thank you so much.
Before we lose you, can I just also acknowledge over the weekend I read the beautiful obituary of Leanne McCall, and was reminded of her service over the last the entire time I've been in Oregon, but certainly public life around League of Women Voters and a whole host of issues. And I believe there's a memorial service in early October,
yes,
which I hope is very well attended. I intend to be there, but I just want to acknowledge her legacy as we, because once upon a time she'd be sitting here as well expressing views about issues of concern, and she will be greatly missed.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I think the point is that some way we have to get to a partnership in working on these difficult issues. Thank you.
And you'll be hearing more about our concerns in a
second. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, and there are two more.
956, request of Carol Landsman to address council regarding meeting with the mayor and police accountability concerns. And 957, request of Mike Tabor to address council regarding meeting with the mayor and police accountability concerns.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm Carol Landsman. I'm a relatively new member of Cop Watch, and as a new member, I had to get up to speed relatively quickly. I did so by going to Cop Watch trainings and going to meetings such as the CRC and the Community Police Relations Committee, meeting with Right to Dream 2, AMA, talking with people on the street. And I think I'm beginning to have a really good understanding of police and city issues regarding this matter. So I was really surprised when we couldn't get a meeting with you, because we really do have depth and breadth on police issues. Now, it is true that Ms. Wesson Mitchell offered us a meeting. However, and you may not know this, in her emails to us, she wrote, "Portland Cop Watch has," this is the quote, "lack of information and a predisposition to bad intent." She also said that we make false, overarching statements that are simply not true. And she finally said, our emails are full of misrepresentations and inaccuracies. We talked about meeting with her, but in light of those comments, we felt that she was not objective and would not listen to us fairly. Anyhow, moving on to my second issue, which is some of the issues I've noticed in the CRC meetings or the Community Relations Committee have been an education for me. Recently, we were hearing the case, the CRC was hearing the case of a police officer who had pepper sprayed a man and his girlfriend because he was thinking of arresting them. Anyhow, the police, speaking in his behalf, said that they thought that was a good decision on his part because it was the least use of force. You know, he could have shot them, he could have tasered them. I was just amazed. Why was there no discussion of no force? That wasn't even on the table. I was really quite concerned by that. Another thing that has concerned me is the Independent Police Review Department officer, when telling of his findings regarding that horrible case of the 9-year-old girl who was handcuffed and arrested and taken to the police station in her bathing suit. There was no, that they couldn't do anything because there was no police directive about that. However, there is a state statute that says that children under 10 may not be arrested, might be taken down to the police station to be fingerprinted. Yet the Independent Review Board officer did not mention that at all, and I was concerned about the lack of total and complete research. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Mayor, Council, and City Council. My name is Mike Tabor, and I'm a member of Portland Cop Watch that wanted to sit down and meet with you about concerns our group had regarding filming by the police. I'm now using this time to speak to you because our group was not able to get a meeting without getting by Officer Wesson Mitchell's conflict of interest. I know we've discussed this a little bit here prior. Her position on this issue we've raised comes off as the defensive of the Bureau's behavior and policies. We feel this is not helpful for someone who should be listening to our community concerns in figuring out how to implant change rather than helping perpetuate the status quo. We are concerned about the police filming residents of Portland. We have seen over and over police filming people at public gatherings and protests. When asked why they are filming or what they are doing with the film footage, the police usually reply, "We are using it for training purposes," and to ask the city attorney for more information. We know that ORS 181.575 states the police are not to be filming, spying, or recording citizens, religious organizations, or political groups, and we are concerned that the police are continuing to film and collect this video footage to this day. We have written about this concern repeatedly. This concern of filming by the police takes me to my next point about the use of lapel cameras that are to be worn by the police. I'm speaking of the body-worn camera by an officer while on duty. Because, for example, there is not enough information on what is happening with the camera data and the use of storage of the video footage that is collected and whether it will be viewed with transparent oversight, we at Portland Cop Watch are not able to support the police filming the residents of Portland using these cameras. There have been only one public study so far of this type of camera worn by the police, and the information doesn't prove it makes police behavior any safer. It was paid for in part by the camera's manufacturer, who stands to make money from the good press. Many people are saying that police-worn cameras can stop police abuse and misconduct, but we don't know if that's true or if it even changes police conduct. We do encourage people to film the police, and in fact, we are training the public on how to film the police and what a person's rights are. But it is our opinion that having the police film citizens with body-worn cameras is potentially illegal. There needs to be more conversation with the public, oversight committees, and organizations on what this type of filming does to our privacy and how the recordings will be stored and accessed. Will the acquired footage be used for spying, tracing, investigating, or data mined for information? We have no assurance the police will use the footage for accountability purposes. We do not know how or who will be reviewing the videotapes and how it will be related to discipline or to correcting bad behavior. We are concerned the footage will be used as a dragnet to hunt for evidence or to prosecute people. We are concerned it could be used in assisting investigations that were not warranted nor would be allowed under the purview of a legitimate police business. It seems the city already made up its mind to get these cameras, but these questions need to be discussed with residents who need to feel safe and secure in their rights to privacy and not to incriminate themselves. In conclusion, the police should not film the citizens of Portland by any type of camera without at least a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity as called for in ORS 181.575.
Thank you. Well, again, I want to recommend first that you meet with Deanna and talk through these issues with her, and we'll take it from there. Secondly, Willamette Week story about the foot patrols on Hawthorne was an unusually accurate news story. In my point of view, having been there on the street that day when the reporter was getting the information for her story. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at that foot patrol that Sergeant DeLand and his officers are carrying out on Hawthorne and talk to the citizens and merchants and residents and visitors to that street, I'd urge you to do that because I learned a lot from having those conversations. And from having some of the young people who some describe as travelers come up and talk about the first constructive conversations they've ever had with a police officer being the ones that they'd had with those officers. So I regard that particular experiment as a success, but I would love to hear your perceptions of it if you have the chance to go out and see how it's working both downtown and on Hawthorne. But in Central Precinct, we're using a lot more of that kind of a relationship-based approach where the officers actually patrol the same area day after day, week after week, know the people, actually we've only issued 19 citations on Hawthorne in the whole summer. So it's mostly avoiding problems rather than responding to them. So again, I would urge you to both follow up with Deanna and follow up with some of that kind of field work if you haven't done that already. The issue of filming is an interesting one, and the council is going to be discussing that as well. In my experience so far as police commissioner, the most dramatic and useful information that we've obtained from filming was one by a citizen in the case of an officer-involved shooting out at Adventist Hospital, and the other by the car cameras in the incident where the man confronted two of our officers on the roof of a parking garage and started firing a shotgun. In those two incidents, the presence of film, whether it was by a citizen or by the police bureau, helped really resolve the question about whether the officers acted appropriately in their use of force. So my impression, at least, is that properly managed and with the proper controls, having video of our officers doing their work is more beneficial than not, and quite possibly influences their behavior, but certainly helps inform analysis of what actually happened out there rather than just word of mouth. So I'm inclined towards the use of video, whether it's, again, by officers wearing lapel cameras or having camera in their vehicle or by citizens filming an event. I take your point seriously about what are the controls on this, how does the information get managed, what are the purposes for which this information is being collected, all very legitimate civil liberties questions.
Yeah.
But it appears to me, and it appeared to me actually at the moment I first tried on Google Glasses at a conference last January, that this technology, like all technology, could make the world a better place, properly used. So there's some interesting questions
properly
there.
Used.
Yeah, appreciate your interest in the subject and in the conversation, and again, something that I'm inclined towards, but I understand the need for us to do it right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So, Mary, I have a follow-up question. First of all, Dan Handelman mentioned the follow-up discussion on the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and kind of escaped my notice that the summer has flown by. What is your plan for having that council discussion?
I'm planning to bring a recommendation to council on that subject pretty soon.
So, do you have a time frame?
I'd say 30 days.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then I wanted to make an announcement about the interviews for the Compliance Officer Community Liaison, which will be on Monday, September 29th, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the Portland building. Those will be public meetings. The candidates will give presentations, and then they will be interviewed by community panels. So I encourage everybody who's interested to either watch that on Portland Community Media. Thank you again for videotaping all of our council sessions, and also to participate. After the interview process, there will be a 30-day comment period, and then following that, the council will make a decision as to which of the candidates to hire. So all of that information will soon be posted on the city website, and I encourage everybody to participate.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay.